I'd like for us to turn to the book of 1 John. I'm going to read a passage of scripture that I don't know whether you think it's appropriate or not for the day, but ask the Lord to help us be able to get our thought out where it will connect with the concept of Father's Day. So looking in 1 John, the second chapter, going to start reading in the 13th verse. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Have you noticed how many times that the word because was in those first two or three verses we read? He says, I write unto you because. I believe that he had a reason for writing these verses. And if we say, this is what I want because, there's a reason, there's something motivating us to say, this is what I want. If you're the supervisor, if you're the boss on the job site, and you say, I want you to do this task this way because. And then you're going to hear the reason behind why he wants it done that way. It may be a safety thing. I want you to do this because I don't want you to get your fingers hurt, or I don't want you to hurt your back. I don't want you to back up and run over somebody. You get in a lot of old delivery type vehicles, maybe even in semis. They have an acronym that they'll have posted on the dash somewhere, maybe on the hang on a sticker somewheres. An acronym is GOAL, G-O-A-L. Anybody know what that means? Get out and look. You do that before you back up. If you're in a position where you have to back up with a semi, you have to back up on your UPS truck or whatever else you're driving, before you do, you don't just jump in, glance at your mirrors, and back up. You get out and look. That's their acronym. And they do that because of something. They don't want you backing into a car. They don't want you backing over inadvertently a pedestrian or somebody that might be standing at the back bumper visiting or whatever. They don't want you to do that. So there's a reason. So he says here, I write unto you, little children. Well, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that's from the beginning. And I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. He says, I'm writing unto you, fathers and young men. And one of the aspirations of a young man at some point in his life will to become a father. Now, I am at a stage in my life to where being a father and taking one of my sons by the ear literally and saying, you're going to do this because I said so, is kind of past tense. I don't have that liberty to do that anymore. I don't think, anyway. But it's something that was a reality at one time, but now it's beyond that. It's beyond me. I'm at a stage in my life to where I have to appeal to something else besides coercion to get my boys to do what I think they ought to do. I've got to appeal to their reason. I've got to tell them what their responsibilities are. And the writer here says, I write unto you fathers, I write unto you young men, because you're strong. Because you're acquainted with God. You know, it's a good thing to be able to communicate and to talk to people and reason with people that's acquainted with God. It's a good thing. And he says, I write unto you young men because you're... You know, there are strengths about young men that are in the developing stage when they are way too young to be a father. I came from a home where there was only boys. I had one brother, no sisters. And after our children started coming along and we had four sons and no daughters, my wife felt overwhelmed because she came from a family of no sons and one sister. And the things that the boys did that was just normal almost pushed her over the edge. Just the whole thing of tantalizing their younger brother. Just doing something to see if he would squeal. She didn't understand that. Why do they do that? He'll be all right. They'll be okay. I don't know how many times that she called me and at work, back before we had cell phones, to get paged to the phone. Oh, the boys are doing whatever. And many times I would say, so? And one time I remember she says, I've already spanked them for doing this once today. And I said, well, spank them again. They need it again. I don't know what kind of misbehavior they was doing. It's way too far back there. I don't remember. But they were either agitating one another or violating something she had told them to do, and they had done it again. And I told her, I said, you just have to discipline them again. They're just boys. You know, you have to teach them over and over. But over the time, they were developing strength and courage and stamina. You know, they can be very, not that girls can't be, but boys can be extremely persistent. He says there's a reason I'm writing to you. There's a reason that I'm writing to fathers and to young men. You have some strengths. And he didn't say it so much here, but I'm saying I'm so thankful that he was writing to men and young men that had a desire to be pleasing to the Lord. All right? He says, I'm writing to you because you're strong. I'm writing unto you because you have knowledge. He said here in that 13th verse, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. There is a lot of knowledge that young men gain that's good. And sometimes the way they gain knowledge is not because they sat down and read the book. You know, there's a saying about if you try to do something and you're not successful, maybe you ought to read the instructions. You know, that's something that a lot of boys... they think that they know how. So they just open up the box and they start putting things together or whatever it is. And when they get halfway through, they've got some extra parts here and maybe some extra parts there. And it's like, where did those go? Maybe you should have read the instructions. Maybe you'll have... But they're learning, see. There's not. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that's from the beginning. It's important for men to be strong. Not belligerent, but strong. It's important for men to have knowledge and to have a thirst for understanding to be a real father. Because I'm going to tell you, a father is going to be posed with lots of questions. And I remember one time and going down the road, I don't know how old I was. I'm going to say I was 9 or 10 years old. And I've told the story before, but we were traveling. It seemed like we were going to visit my grandmother that lived in Wisconsin or something like that. But we was on a long road trip. We was going down the road and we were just visiting. And I got to asking my dad questions. And he gave me an answer that I thought was wrong. So I commenced arguing with my dad. And he tried to explain why my answer was wrong as his answer was right. And he used patience and all of that. But this is why a father needs to be strong. And you can't be a pushover. After we'd gone along a little ways, and he could tell that I was being stubborn. I wasn't giving in to what he was telling me because I thought he was wrong. And here I was such a little guy. Finally, he told me, he said, you can believe whatever you want to, but you're wrong. That was the end of that discussion. And he found a place to end it instead of just going on and on and on. And, you know, I don't know the way the mother would have handled it, but I know how my mother would have handled it. But I've seen my wife handle a similar situation, and it's, you know, she doesn't approach things like that. She's more apt to say, well, I'm so disappointed that you won't accept my answer. And Dad didn't do that. He says, you can believe what you want to, but you're wrong. So I thought, well, okay. What was he doing? As part of that is instructing. He was putting the responsibility on me, you see. I'm going to have to deal with it if I'm wrong. And Dad just told me I was wrong. If I'm wrong, then somewhere along the right, down the road of life, my conclusion that I was being contentious for is going to lead me into error. I'm going to... You know, it's one thing for your dad to tell you something wrong because, as the song says, our fathers really love us. They should. And he told me that in love. But it's another thing. You know, I got to thinking about that. What if I piped up with somebody, some of my peers, or maybe a teacher, and I got to arguing with them about the same thing, and they told me I was wrong. You know, I'd a lot rather have my dad tell me I was wrong than somebody at school, wouldn't you? I know, because my dad loved me. All right? So I'm thinking today of the importance of fathers and young men having knowledge and having strength. Being able to give an answer. Oh, maybe we don't always have the most technically precise answer. And my dad wasn't able. You know, as I got older, there were questions I asked him about technical things, and he had to say, I don't know. He didn't really know how to explain it to me. But when he did know, he told me. If I was wrong, he told me I was wrong. But I want us to look at what the strength in these men that John was addressing done for them. He says, I've written unto you young men, the 14th verse, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked. He's using that past tense. Ye have overcome the wicked one. And he goes on and encourages them, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's a pretty bold statement, but it sounds like something a father would tell a son. If you're going to If you're going to be successful, you just can't go down that path. You can't do that. And he encourages them by telling them, I know you've already made a good decision. You've taken a good direction, but he gives them some admonition to go with it. He said, don't let your affections go out. Guard them. Use this strength that you have cultivated in scuffling with your brothers, in learning how not to do things when you have injured yourself, or maybe you found out that you took something apart that won't go back together, or whatever. The strengths and the knowledge and understanding that you gain, use that and apply it, and be determined to not allow your affections to go out after the world or the things that are in the world. He says in the 16th verse, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the world, but is not of the Father, but is of the world." All of those things are so tantalizing in our world today. And it appeals not just to the men, but to the women as well. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Isn't that what it says? The pride of life. These are the things that appeal to people in our everyday world. And it takes strength to avoid those things. It takes strength to resist the temptations that the devil has out there. And it takes courage. It takes knowledge. It takes understanding. So if you're a father today, I want to thank you that you're here and you're have a direction in your life, but I want to challenge you to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. All of those things, all of that stuff is not of the Father, the Father of Christ, our Father, if we've been adopted. He says they're not of the Father, it's just of the world. He says, "And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The longevity of things is intriguing to me. I like things that have a long longevity. I look around and I see all of the buildings, the courthouse in Carthage. I like it. Why do I like it? It's not a piece of steel that's going to get rusty. It's not a piece of wood that's going to get rotten. It's made out of stone. I like going by some of those old houses in town that's made out of the same stuff. I like to see the cornerstones that somebody has put on one of those old buildings and put in the date when it was set. I like that kind of thing. I drove by on my way to Wichita yesterday. I drove by through a town called St. Paul, Kansas. I don't know if anybody's ever been through there. But there is an old, I'm assuming it's a Catholic church there. I didn't stop. I was tempted to. But it looked like maybe something that had been damaged by fire or something years ago. I'm guessing the rock part of this structure was probably built way back there in the 1800s, I'm guessing. But they were still very substantial. But all of the other stuff had decayed. It was not there. There was no roof on the place. And they'd kind of made it into a historic landmark or something there. But I'm interested in us getting a hold of something as fathers. You know, our world today is so destitute of men that'll be fathers, that'll have the strength, that'll have the knowledge, that'll have the determination to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, that'll be able to resist the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We are in a dearth. We need that desperately. I want to challenge you to step up to the plate. John is not just talking just to make noise. He's appealing to God-given features that are in men. He's appealing to strength. He's appealing to a desire to know what the answer is, to know why something works the way it does. He is appealing to that. And he says, apply that in your walk with the Lord. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and notice something that Jesus said. It is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And it is, we call it the Lord's Prayer, is where I want to start. And I'd like to say before beginning that just because there is a dearth in our land of real fathers and real men doesn't mean that we shouldn't learn how to practice how to behave like we didn't have that problem. Okay? It's one thing for us to say, well, we've got this bad problem, so we don't have to learn how to behave ourselves in a situation where there was no problem. Okay? I don't know if I said that right. I wished I had an illustration. Maybe one will come to my mind that would help illustrate what I'm talking about. But I'd like to begin reading in the 9th verse, 6th chapter of Matthew. He says, "For after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And I know that it's tough to be able to hallow the name of your Father if he hasn't been what he should have been. But Jesus is giving us a pattern of how it ought to be. All right? Just because it's not like it ought to be doesn't mean that you shouldn't know how to do the right thing if it was right. Okay, I got a little illustration. You know that all of us, it's easier for us to be motivated to pick up after ourselves and keep things tidy if we have something new. If you got a new house, a new car, a new office space to work in, or whatever it is, you know, it's a lot easier to be motivated to keep it looking tidy. But if you've got an old car that just barely gets you to your destination and back, and you've got a house that maybe is in some state of disrepair, it's a lot easier for you to say, don't matter anyway. What difference does it make? Just throw the gum wrappers in the floor. We'll get it next month. It's easier to do that. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't know how to pick up your gum wrappers or how to take in your whatever it is. Or it doesn't mean you should never sweep the floor. Okay? And Jesus says here, after this is the way it ought to be. You ought to be able to hallow your Father which art in heaven. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say here, you ought to be able to hallow your earthly father. That's what God wants it to be. And those of us that are fathers, Lord, help us to live in a manner that our children can hallow our name. I'm not talking about lifting us up and making a god out of it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about honoring us as a father. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I see in this prayer, in this pattern that Jesus puts down, that he has this vision, this image in his mind. And somehow I'd like for us to get a hold of this today. This vision in our mind that his Father is someone that's trustworthy, that's honorable. You can rely on their instruction. He's not going to lead us into temptation. He's not going to take us down a path that's detrimental to us. And I want us to be challenged, if you're a man, if you're a father here today, to live in such a way that our families can look to us and say, well, there's one thing you can be confident in. He's not going to lead us astray. That's a tall order, folks. But I believe it's possible by the help of the Lord. I believe it's something that we should strive for. Those natural propensities that men have to test and develop their strength and their courage and their knowledge and all of those things, use them for godliness. Use them to cultivate those attributes where your family would want to hallow your name. I know there's a lot of broken stuff in our society. I know things don't function like it should. But this is a call. I see a call in the Scripture for men to be men. For fathers, to be something that somebody can say, you can hang your hat on that. You can anchor in what they're going to tell you. They're not going to give you bad counsel. They're not going to stab you in the back. They're going to be somebody that you can rely on when the going gets tough. You can rely on to be compassionate, to forgive us when we have done something that this disappointing to them. Oh, they may correct us, but down deep, they're ready to forgive. Lord, help me as a father to be that way too. He goes on to say, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, there is something about a father that will hold his children accountable. You know, children, I know boys do. I think girls do too. But they will let things slide on a long time and hope that the parents forgot what they did that was wrong. Or forget that maybe, you know, just kind of slip it under the rug a little bit and ignore it for a while. And maybe dad will forget he said he was going to punish me for that. Or forget that he said I had to go back and say I'm sorry before I could do this or what. No, fathers, don't do that. Don't let time take the consequence out. You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to be that way too. He wants us to, you know, if we teach our children as fathers, if we teach our children a pattern, a godly pattern, how to address difficulties in life, you know that they'll be able to accept God as their Heavenly Father a whole lot easier. But if I give them a distorted perspective, they've got to get over that distortion before they understand who God is. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anointest thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What's he talking about here? I believe that he's talking specifically about fasting, but I believe he's talking about having an inner strength that will sustain and enable us in the times of distress to keep our focus, to keep our direction, to know why we're going down this path. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. But it's a path that we must take. And we must allow the natural things that is identifiable in men as strengths to be cultivated for spiritual and emotional stability in our homes. Couple more verses here. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we got a report card, those of us that are men and fathers today, we got a report card about where our treasures were, what would it say? What would it say our treasure was? Would it be something that we would want to acknowledge and accept, or would we want to deny it? To me, I see in the verses I've read after the Lord's Prayer, I see a lot of rationality behind the instruction that Jesus said, "Hallow thy Father which art in heaven." Or it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is the way you ought to pray. I'm not saying this morning that men are gods, so don't misquote me on that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that men have an obligation to have spiritual strength, physical strength, emotional strength, that their family can rely on. I'm going to tell you, you're talking about making a stable environment. This is the key. This is where it has to start. We want to fix our problems in the world. One of the elements is men have to be men. They have to be stable. They have to be rock solid. They have to know where they're going spiritually. They have to know where I want my family to go. They have to have a reason behind when they say, "I don't want you to stay out that late. I don't want you to go over to their house. I don't want you to be part of this or part of that." There has to be a reason behind it, and not some kind of selfish, "I don't want to come and pick you up. I don't want to have to get up and put my shoes on and drive over to their..." It has to be more than that. You see? Lord, help us to have the spiritual integrity, emotional integrity, that will make our families prosper. So that's my message for Father's Day. Lord, help us to be real fathers. Help us to have the strength where our families can prosper and be a beautiful picture for the world. You know, the world wants to see that. They do. They want to see a beautiful family. They want to see children that are in subjection to the parent. Nobody wants to see children throwing a fit in the aisle. I mean, how many times have you seen children that have acted up in public and somebody else around the corner saying, "Well, come over here, children. I want y'all to watch this so you'll know how to do that." They don't do that. They don't do that at all. They're going to say, "Don't let me catch you doing that in the store. Don't ever think you're going to get by with something like that." People want to, when they see well-mannered children, when they see children that are respectful to the parents, when they see a wife that truly is devoted to the, they love that. People, it doesn't matter where they come from, they like that. And it's all available with the help of the Lord. We can channel the strengths that the Lord caused men to inherently have in a godly fashion. You pray for me.